Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, the unveiling of the Idaho cult. This is Season 3, Episode 2, Eating Crow. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. The story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Afterglow, the unveiling of the Idaho cult. This is Season 3, Episode 2. I am your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And today, we'll navigate through the haunting complexities surrounding the tragic deaths of Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow at the hands of their own mother and stepfather. In this episode today, we're going to unravel the stark contrast between unwavering loyalty and eventual betrayal, exploring the confounding journey of those who once stood by Lori and Chad, only to witness a chilling reality unfold. The revelation of statements from family and friends who staunchly supported Lori and Chad, only to retract their trust after the shocking discovery of the children's bodies in Chad Daybell's yard. This exposes the fragile web of belief and deceit that shrouded this case. And later, we'll delve into a heart-wrenching exchange, a prison call between Lori and her son Colby. In it, Colby grapples with the unfathomable, seeking answers to a question that may never have a satisfactory explanation. The question is why? But our exploration doesn't stop here. If you do subscribe and follow, our next episode will uncover some crucial insights from the police interview with Lori's confidant, Melanie Gibb. That was recorded in August of 2020. So join us as we navigate the tangled threads of this intricate narrative, seeking understanding in the midst of this unfathomable tragedy. Thank you for tuning in. I do appreciate you all. I apologize for my episodes being so few and far between right now. I was having this dream that my podcast and my YouTube channel could be my full-time gig, but unfortunately that hasn't happened. So I did have to take another full-time job as a nurse, because I am a nurse, and it is taking up a lot of my time. It's requiring a lot of overtime, a lot of extra work. So I do apologize, but I will continue to get the podcast out as fast as I can, hopefully faster than I have been. But once we get through these holidays, I'm hoping things will settle down a little bit and I'll get my groove back on and get these podcasts up as fast as possible. So thank you so much for those of you that have been here, have been listening, have subscribed, and for those of you that have donated to help support the show. I'm a one-woman show and I do appreciate it very, very much. And of course, for everybody that listens. And if you don't mind rating the show, that would help me tremendously as well. Thank you. So today, let's go over the statements that were released by many people after the bodies were found. There's statements from the Cox family. There's statements from Kay and Larry, Colby and Kelsey, Lori's son and daughter-in-law. There's statements from Christopher Parrott, who was their biggest cheerleader. So the one piece of the puzzle that I've always been flabbergasted by is the Daybell children. Now, if you remember, when this all started to break in January of 2020, Emma Daybell was pulling in the driveway and there was news reporters there. And Emma Daybell, grown woman, Emma Daybell, Chad's daughter, who is a mother herself, had the weirdest response to this. Very immature. As far as I know, Emma's never really made a public statement about the bodies. And from what I can tell, she, at least at this point, was standing by her dad no matter what. So let's listen to the news reporter explain to the other reporter what went down that day when Emma was making faces behind her as she pulled in the driveway when she was trying to do her news report.
Call law enforcement. All right, now, Ariel, you mentioned the woman that approached you during your report yesterday. What happened with that?
Well, Linda, she told me live there that she asked, even though we were not, I told her that we were legally able to be on the property, she asked me to leave during my live report, and I refused to leave.
Wow, okay, now, I'm taking a look at that and seeing she's pulling some faces and some things that really seem pretty inappropriate for somebody whose family is connected with a case that is this serious.
You know, I was thinking the exact same thing when I later went back and watched the video, because I was just shocked by how pleasant she seemed in the video. And then later off camera, she was blatantly rude to me.
Right. Yeah. This case just gets weirder and weirder the more we get into it. All right. Thanks so much, Ariel.
So on June 10th, 2020, there were several statements released by family members and friends of Lori and Chad and Tylee and JJ. The Woodcocks, Kay and Larry, along with Colby Ryan and Kelsey Ryan, who is Lori's son and daughter-in-law, released a statement, and they said, "The Woodcocks and the Ryans are confirming that the human remains found by law enforcement on Chad Daybell's property are indeed our beloved JJ and Tylee. We are filled with unfathomable sadness that these two bright stars were stolen from us and only hope that they died without pain or suffering." Once officially confirmed, statements from the Rexburg police, the medical examiner, and the FBI will be released. We ask that you respect our family's privacy. While we grieve, we have only just been told of the loss of our loved ones and need time to process. We are not granting interviews at this time, and hope you all understand that this is the worst news we will ever get in our lives and want to be left alone for the time being. Thank you, Larry and Kay Woodcock, Colby and Kelsey Ryan. Annie Cushing, who is Tylee Ryan's aunt, Tylee Ryan's father's sister, Joe Ryan. Annie and Joe are brother and sister. She released a statement as well. Annie Cushing says this: "Thank you for the overwhelming outpouring of love for Tylee and JJ. Throughout this crisis, my family and I eagerly await the results of the identification of the remains and autopsies, but have hope there will be resolution and closure in the near future. As sad and taxing as this protracted investigation has been, I've been deeply touched by the heartfelt expressions of grief, kindness, and support throughout this process. Tylee and JJ won the hearts of people all across the globe. I've seen and have been impacted by both the worst and the best of humanity. Hopefully, goodness and justice will win out in the end. We ask for privacy during this difficult time." The next statement that was released that I'm going to read to you was from Matt and Heather Daybell. Matt is Chad Daybell's brother, and Heather is his wife, sister-in-law of Chad Daybell. They stated, "The events of the past 9 months have weighed heavily on our family. It has been one of the most difficult things we have ever had to go through. Some in our extended family are still struggling to accept the reality that Chad could have been involved in something so terribly wrong. On behalf of myself, my wife, Heather, and our four children, we express our most sincere sympathies to Larry and Kay and to JJ and Tylee's entire extended families. We are devastated by today's news and the apparent role that Chad has played in what has transpired. Heather and I have communicated many times in person and by phone with Larry and Kay over the past several months. They have been examples of courage, strength, and kindness to us throughout this difficult trial that they have been forced to endure. Throughout this ordeal, we have supported one another in pursuit of the truth and will continue to do so. They have been praying for our family as we have prayed for them. Our heartfelt love and prayers continue to go out to them and their family at this difficult time. We also continue to pray for Tammy and Chad's adult children and their spouses. Because of the difficulty of the situation, our relationship with them has been significantly strained. As a result, we have had no contact with them or Chad for the last many months. We do not know where his children stand at this time. As such, we ask for patience and compassion for them and for all of our extended family as we cope with the horrific events that have come to light. Matt and Heather Daybell. Then there's a joint statement from the Cox family, Lori's family, along with Melanie Pawlowski, her niece, and Ian Pawlowski, her niece's new husband. They released a joint statement from Mesa, Arizona, June 10th, 2020. The Cox family, Janice and Barry, Summer, Melanie, and Ian, is deeply saddened by the recent findings in the investigation into the whereabouts of JJ and Tylee. Their love for them knows no bounds. The family has maintained a strong hope and belief that they were alive and well. With that hope and belief apparently shattered, they struggle to find comfort and hope in this potential new reality. They miss JJ and Tylee very much. The family is very grateful to those who have expended so much time and effort in trying to locate them. The family expresses their deep and abiding love for JJ and Tylee. The family will continue to closely watch the developing situation and will anxiously await the pending conclusions. With heavy hearts, the family extends their gratitude to all of those who express their love and concern for JJ and Tylee and feels the strength of their faith and prayers. As we go through these statements of family members and friends, I want to read a post that was put on Facebook on June 21st, 2020. It is a post by Summer Shiflett, who is Lori's younger sister. The family had already made a statement, but Summer made a long post on Facebook with her thoughts. Here it is being read for you.
Words are hard and inadequate. Trying to type through this pain is difficult. The last few months have been hard. The last week has been excruciating. Losing our precious Tylee and JJ in this horrific way is more than we can bear. I have a tremendous amount of gratitude to all of the law enforcement that have worked so hard to find Tylee and JJ. When I first heard that remains had been found, I immediately felt the need to pray for those who found them. And I continue to pray for those who were on the scene, removed the remains, and have to analyze them to try to piece together what those poor babies endured. I feel for those who do this work and am so grateful they are willing to do this to help bring peace and closure to families. I am also grateful to the Woodcocks for ordering the wellness check. I pray for them to have peace and comfort as well. My mother has been here with me the past few days, and we both feel the same about this. I feel so incredibly grateful to all of our friends and family and even the strangers that have reached out to offer their love and support. I have leaned on them more than they know. We have prayed for the truth to come to light, but we never thought it would look like this. Believe me when I say this has looked very different from my perspective than what the public has seen. It's easy to jump on a bandwagon when you don't personally know all the people involved. When you have been up close and personal, you can't discount your own interactions and just go by what everyone else says and thinks. I know there are people waiting for me to admit I was wrong. If that's all you want to know, here it is. I was wrong. I am an extremely imperfect person that loves my family with all my heart, and I wanted to believe the best in them, and I held out hope for the best possible outcome. I have always said things truthfully as I understood them, and will continue to do that as I learn new information. While I am nowhere close to perfect, I strive to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to show love to everyone, regardless of their imperfections. I do not find any joy in condemning people or in the mob mentality. There is no joy in finding out about my precious niece and nephew. And while I have moments of extreme anger, right now there is so much sorrow and hurt that I can't even fully process all of it. The last thing I want to do is perpetuate more hate. There is already too much of that in this world. I am praying for healing for all of those who knew and loved Tai Tai and JJ, even those who didn't know them, but have been hurt by this news. I pray for healing for all who need it, especially those who choose to lash out in anger over this. I pray for them especially, as I know when you are in pain from your own life circumstances, it is easy to act out in anger. I am trying my best not to do that. It is going to take time to work through all of these emotions and all of this grief, but I have experienced the healing power of the atonement of Jesus Christ in my life many times, and I have great hope and faith that he can heal all those who turn to him for comfort. Tylee and JJ are completely irreplaceable in our family. I have loved them greatly all of their lives. There are no words that can capture this loss. Words are just inadequate. We have dozens of Tylee and JJ stories that we love and share frequently. We had prayed our hearts out for them and hoped with all of our hearts they were safe. But we sadly have to face this new reality, and our family will never, ever be the same. Sadly, there is no way to go back and undo what has been done. We can only go forward. As much as we miss them here, I know my beautiful Tai Tai and precious JJ are in a beautiful place with people they love. I am going to do my best to help what's left of my family to honor Tai Tai and JJ by putting our trust in our Savior Jesus Christ, by trying to show an abundance of love and kindness, and look into ways of helping victims of abuse, children suffering from chronic illnesses, and children on the autism spectrum. Love you forever, Tylee and JJ.
Remember, a lot of this started because Lori started following Chad in the prepper community, saying that doomsday was coming and they were in charge of the 144,000 together. And then Chad started labeling people as dark and light and all of that stuff. These people all found each other initially, and Chad and people like Julie Rowe got their fame, if you want to call it that, by belonging to this prepper community called AVOW, which stands for Another Voice of Warning, and going to these Preparing of People conferences. And Chad, his book, he was all part of that, and Christopher Parrott was his big cheerleader. Christopher Parrott was the mastermind owner behind AVOW. So that's how it all, if you think back, got started, and how everybody became like this desperate people, and Lori thinking she was this queen and Chad this king, to save themselves and gather the people that were most important for the coming of Christ, second coming of Christ. So Christopher Parrott, he was a cheerleader for them. He stuck up for them from the beginning, the middle, until he absolutely was unable to anymore because bodies were found. Here's a news clip about when Christopher Parrott finally saw the light, if you want to call it that, or saw the dark.
Well, you might remember for months, there was only one person close to Chad Daybell or Lori Vallow willing to defend them publicly, saying that they know, quote unquote, the real story about what happened to JJ and Tylee. His name is Christopher Parrott, and this is just one of the messages he posted in an online forum. You can see it right there on your screen in big, bold words, vindicated. Quote, Chad and Lori called me tonight, and we spoke for almost a full hour. I am here to tell you I feel totally vindicated in standing up for Chad. Sue, my wife, and I now fully understand what had been going on from day one, including what's been going on with the kids and his wife, Tammy's death. At the time, he went on to blame, quote, lies that have been posted on social media and in the lamestream news. He promised their story and all of its detail is coming soon. And the only hint he gave is that this was a, quote, nasty, ugly custody case being driven by grandma. Today at their home in Rigby, Idaho, the Parrots' tone changed drastically. They did not apologize for their post, but they said they feel terrible, that they had no idea the kids were dead, that their hearts and prayers are with the family, that they're sick to their stomach, and they said they want people to know they had nothing to do with this. The question I asked is, what is the story Chad Daybell told you? They said they didn't feel comfortable sharing because they don't want to interfere with an ongoing investigation, other than to say, obviously, Chad lied to us. Reporting in Rexburg, Adam Hurwitz, Fox 13 News, Utah.
So here's a short clip of Eric Grosshart from EastIdahoNews.com in front of the Daybell property soon after the bodies had been found there, giving a report.
Hey everyone, Eric Grosarth here with EastIdahoNews.com. Technical thing here. So those of you that are just tuning in, Eric Grosarth here with EastIdahoNews.com. I am at the Daybell House in Salem, Idaho, where law enforcement is back searching today. We'll kind of give you a little bit of a view of what's happening. Investigators are looking in these back areas, that shed back there, as well as the red barn here at the house where Chad Daybell used to live. Now, we'll kind of jump back 3 weeks ago. The Rexburg Police Department, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, FBI, and the Fremont County Sheriff's Office were at this house searching that back area behind that fence in that field where, unfortunately, they found the remains of missing 7-year-old Joshua Vallow and 16-year-old Tylee Ryan. Now, the police officers got here around 1:15 this afternoon here in Salem, Idaho, at this house on North 1900 East, and they are searching in the back. We don't know much about it other than that it is a Rexburg Police Department search warrant, and investigators are not saying much about it. They came to this home where Chad's son-in-law and daughter have been living with their family since Chad Daybell was arrested, again, 3 weeks ago, and investigators are searching the shed and barn in the back here. Investigators were actually looking in that barn and shed back in January when they searched there. So this is the third search at the Daybell house that we know of today. And this is definitely not to the scale that the investigation was a few weeks ago. There's maybe 5 patrol vehicles, mostly unmarked, at this house where they're looking for something. This is a Rexburg Police Department search warrant. As you can see, they are still looking in that backyard, and we are trying to get you more information as we can in regards to what they are searching for. But again, they are not telling us much about this search warrant. They're in that back shed there. When I was here in January, that was an area that investigators were looking a lot. They were going through things, looking through trash bags, and didn't really pull much out of there. Most things came out from inside the house, but they are here back again today, 3 weeks after they dug in the backyard of this property where Chad Daybell lived, and they found the remains of Joshua J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan. Now, we'll kind of go recap everything that's happened in this case so far. So the two kids went missing in September. They were last seen then, and police believe around that time that their uncle Alex Cox, his phone pinged in the location where they found their bodies. Their mother, the children, Lori Vallow, married a man named Chad Daybell weeks after their disappearance, and they were in Hawaii where we found them. And then they served them with an order that they must produce, or served Lori saying that she must produce the children. She did not. And about 4 weeks after that, she was arrested in Kauai and brought back here to Rexburg, where she's been in the Madison County Jail a few miles down the road from here on $1 million bail. Now, Chad had been free and not really, other than they were looking at stuff. So we'll kind of show you here. Investigators are seen right now carrying paper bags to the vehicles. We don't know what they were looking for. We're told that they won't be here for too long today. This is definitely a smaller investigation than it was a few weeks ago. They're in the back of the house. They have a camera. They have these bags that they brought something out of the barn in the back, the garage barn area. They're also looking in that shed there, and they've been going around taking pictures. They've been here for about an hour and 15 minutes, so not very long. And this is definitely not to the scale that it was a few weeks ago. Investigators have searched this house numerous times before, back in January. That was likely in relation to the death of Tammy Daybell, Chad Daybell's wife, and then in relation to the kids just 3 weeks ago where they found their remains. Something tipped the scale of the investigation when they started looking at cell phone data, text messages that really led them to a specific area. There's some more activity, as you can see over here at the house. Investigators are looking in the back area by red shed here. They did come out with about three or four brown bags of items. We don't know what they're looking for. This is a Rexburg search warrant, we're being told, and they are still searching. They've been here for a little over an hour, and this is that red barn near where they found the remains of Tylee Ryan that were dismembered and charred about 3 weeks ago is when they found those remains. They're looking at some sort of crate or metal object right now, or a container in that back area. And this is live as they are conducting this search warrant.
So with Eric out in front of the Daybell house and the police officers had returned, they appear to be looking for something specific. Well, according to Annie Cushing on her website, annielinux.com, she noted that Tylee's remains were found charred and she had been dismembered postmortem. She says it's feasible that RPD investigators were searching the barn and shed for evidence that Chad Daybell and or Alex Cox had used these structures to dismember Tylee and then carry her remains over the fire pit to be burned. She also goes on to say, also remember, Alex Cox has 1 hour where his whereabouts were not accounted for the murder of Tylee. They are saying that 3:37 a.m. to 4:37 a.m. And Alex didn't return to Lori's apartment before heading over to Chad's house, so they could have met up in the early morning hours to work under the cloak of night. So she seems to think that they were looking for some specific evidence, and later we will find that that is most likely true. But let's listen to him a little bit longer.
So someone has been living in the home. We've been told that the son-in-law of Chad Daybell, as well as his family, have been living here. Since then, they were given the papers, witnesses say, that they were going to be searching and were seen leaving the house. They're back there looking along the side of the shed, just yards from where they found the remains of Tylee. And then back even further by a tree, they found the remains of JJ. So we aren't quite sure what they're looking at. Police are being very tight-lipped about this. Madison County Prosecutor Rob Wood did not have anything to say in regards to this search warrant, and the Rexburg Police Department have not yet returned our calls, but we do know it's in relation to some sort of Rexburg warrant. They are the ones that are investigating the two missing children that were found deceased, their remains 3 weeks ago. They're still waiting for results on some of those autopsies that were done over in Ada County, which is Boise, Idaho area, about 4 hours away for those of you that aren't super familiar with Idaho. They don't conduct those autopsies in this part of the state. So yeah, the Rexburg Police Department is here. It looks like there's a couple Fremont County Sheriff's deputies that are just kind of helping them with this search warrant. There's multiple Rexburg police detectives that have been working on this case for months. When they first did that welfare check back in November at the Rexburg townhome of Tylee Ryan. So someone was wondering if I can zoom in a little bit here. You can see the investigators have been looking over there in that shed and along the side of it. And it seems like they might be wrapping up here. So we'll go ahead and definitely work to get you the most information that we can as things go. But yeah, If you download our app, eastadonews.com, we'll have updates later once we get more information.
So as we wrap up today's show, I did tell you that I was going to play the conversation. We never had heard in real time, but it was posted during the testimony when Colby Ryan was on the stand as a witness. And this was a conversation that he had with Lori in August of 2020, his prison phone call. So I'll play that now. The audio is kind of frustrating at times because the judge did not let cameras in the courtroom. So the audio was unprofessional, to say the least. It was just audio in the courtroom. So you hear typing, you hear sniffling, you hear other excess noises that we really didn't need to hear if it would have been recorded properly, you know, with actual camera people and audio people that knew what they were doing, not just a recording in the courtroom. But that was a little annoying, and you'll find out a lot more about that later on when we get to the trial. But nonetheless, this is actually really important and really eye-opening and heartbreaking at the same time. Colby calling his mom in jail. Lori's voice gets a little clearer. It starts out really low and muffled, but it does get clearer. So hang with me. I will play that for you now.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You're
You think you can hide from me?
I'm hiding. You just
forgot it. Probably because you murdered my siblings. That's probably why he's hugging you. Maybe you should understand.
I didn't. I'm sorry that you feel that way.
You didn't do anything, right? Mom, I've prayed for you in my worst moments. I prayed for my siblings. You swore to me we're okay. I thought I could trust you. I thought that you were a completely different person. I don't know a murderous mother.
You can make judgments when you weren't there and you don't know what happened.
How? What happened?
Everyone's making their own judgments.
Mom, you've been shoving BS on my throat for a very long time. I'm going to talk to you.
You can be mad.
Sweet. Hey, listen to me. I'm not mad. Listen to me. Fine, listen to me. I sat there and prayed. I can't tell you the amount of pain that I have felt from your decisions in Jesus Christ's name. It kills me to watch you sit here and tell me this is a trial. It kills me to watch you take the victim's route and say that this shouldn't have happened to you. When you are telling me that Chad Daybell came into your life and all of a sudden everything changes, and I'm talking about my spirit feels this. I prayed. I trusted you. I gave you every chance I could, past my own limitations as a human being. I pushed past all of everything to try to get to you to help my own mother. You lied to me, specifically to me, more times than I can count about this. To know that they're gone, and you knew, and my phone's being texted by my little sister, who's not even alive, my little brother, who's the sweetest little kid ever. For what purpose can you tell me that this is God's will for my whole family including my stepfather, to be dead. After everything that you try to tell me, you can tell me right now that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is on your side. You tell me that with all the conviction in your heart that Jesus Christ is on your side right now. Please.
I can tell you that.
Say it to me. Say his name. Say that he told you and you followed him like exactness, because I have prayed for you. I sat there and tried my best to forgive you and Chad and Alex, and I was deceived and I was broken by my own mother. What are you doing? What are you doing? I prayed to Heavenly Father, and I said, you tell me, Father.
Oh, I have all made these judgments. They even know what happened. They think
I don't care about other people.
What happened. They think they know.
Do you know that you told me? Do you know you told me?
Yes, because you weren't there. So you...
You're right. I wasn't there. I was kept in the lap.
And one day, you will know.
Murder.
One day,
murder.
You will know what actually happened.
You're right. Because you know what, Mom?
And we all will stand there with
everything into the light. You're absolutely right. He will convict the people who act in his name with pure blasphemy. This is funny. This is funny. This is funny. You're laughing like this is funny. How come your camera's on, Mom? You don't want to look at me in the eye? Why can't you look at me? It's just you and me. I'm in my house alone.
I love you. I always will. One day you will see and one day you will understand.
Go ahead and hang up.
I do love you.
See how that works for you. You gonna hang up?
I don't have anything else to say. You obviously don't know.
Let me tell you
weren't there. You weren't there. Summer wasn't there. My mom wasn't there. The police weren't there. The FBI weren't there.
You're
nobody
right.
Was there.
Kylie and JJ, Mom.
Yeah, and guess what? They know. They know exactly what happened.
Backyard.
And they love me. And we are still right. Together forever. They love me. And they are fine. And they do know the truth. And I know the truth. And we're the only people that do. So you can judge me, Colby, all day long. Go ahead and judge me. The whole world has. The whole world has judged me.
Listen to me.
They don't know, and you don't know. You don't know what I've been through, and you didn't even give a crap what they've been through. Nobody does.
I don't.
Except for me. I'm the one that knows. I'm the one that was in the hospital with Tylee for hundreds of days watching her suffer. I'm the one that was there doing everything with JJ every day. I was the one who did it all these years.
You did it all to throw it in the garbage. They're not.
You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened.
It freaking matter what happened if they're buried in your new husband's backyard. Tell me that matters what happened. You tell me that you did this in Jesus' name, Mom. I have to hear that out of your mouth. You believe it, then you are not afraid. Every witness of Christ will scream his name when he comes back. So you are that person.
I am that person. I am that person. And he will come to you. Oh, yeah, Cole, because that's what it is.
Okay.
You don't even know. You weren't even there. You don't even
know. When I asked you about Friday in October, what did you tell me? What did you tell me? What lies did you feed me? Why would you lie to me if you are so, if you're with the Lord and you've seen him and I'm just talking purely to you and you've seen Jesus Christ, where's the fear? Why wouldn't you tell me something? Why were you afraid? Why is everyone against you? Why is everything against my mom?
You can be against me all you want. One day, we will all stand there with Jesus. We will all stand there with Jesus and you will know the truth of everything.
Isn't it?
Not for me.
You're telling me that this was all done in Lent. Say it. Tell me that this was done in Jesus' name.
You don't know what happened.
That was heavy, huh, with Colby. In the wake of unimaginable tragedy, the journey to comprehend the inexplicable takes us down harrowing paths. Today, we delved into the intricacies of human relationships, the sway of deception, and the chilling transformation of beliefs. The stark contrast between the before and after, between staunch support and eventual disillusionment, leaves us grappling with the complexity of trust and the haunting question, how well can we truly know those closest to us? As we witness the shattered truths and the painful revelations, it's a stark reminder that reality can be obscured even within the confines of family ties. The haunting conversation between Lori and her son Colby echoes the unfathomable abyss between comprehension and disbelief. But our pursuit for understanding continues. Next time, we'll explore another pivotal piece of this intricate puzzle, the police interview with Lori's confidant, Melanie Gibb. Melanie Gibb has been a very controversial figure in this case, and opinions vary greatly on Melanie Gibb. Is she a star witness, or was she involved as well? That interview took place in August of 2020, right around the same time of the Colby interview that you heard today. So join us as we unearth more layers of this perplexing saga, this horrible case. Thank you so much for tuning into Afterglow, the unveiling of the Idaho cult. Your dedication to understanding these deeply troubling events means a lot. Until next time, stay with us as we journey deeper into the shadows of this chilling case. And to all of you, happy holidays. Stay safe, stay well, and I will see you soon. Resources for today's case were East Idaho News, KTVB TV, Annie Lennox, Annie Cushing, and my YouTube channel, where I had everything in real time back in 2020 and beyond. Thanks again. Bye-bye.